Good morning to all of you. Good afternoon. Haven't had lunch, so it's obviously still morning. 10 years ago, I gave a message on the real value of prophecy. At that time, I had no idea that 10 years later we'd be starting to live through some of the things that we'd been expecting for a long time. We find ourselves in the beginning of sorrows to a greater extent and more quickly than we might have imagined. And certainly in some ways, we only understood these things theoretically. In the September-October 2018 issue of Beyond Today, Ben Like wrote an article, Spanish Flu, the pandemic that changed the world. Toward the end of the article, he wrote some things that we totally understand today. And I'll quote what he said, what he wrote. Although our world today is vastly more technology advanced, meaning referring to what it was in 1918, that ironically sets the stage through modern transportation and globalization for such pandemics to spread with astounding speed. All it will take is one patient zero somewhere in the world to begin the process. And when the dust settles, billions could be dead. Are there any of us that don't understand that now? I mentioned in that previous message that when my wife and I were called into the church, prophecy wasn't at the forefront of our minds. We had come to understand that there are some very scary things ahead. But we were young and childless, only 24 years old then. And definitely we did not understand how bad things could get. Well, now we're 76, older and hopefully wiser. No comments, please. And we're beginning to realize that things can and will get very scary indeed. One of the reasons that I've never really been a prophecy buff is that because God gives us specific knowledge as when we need it, and so trying to figure things out before then can be nothing more than speculation. What was Daniel told when he asked for more detailed understanding of the prophecies that were revealed to him? Well, we're familiar with Daniel 12, verse 9. Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end of time. Neither Daniel nor man is allowed to understand things perfectly and precisely until they actually are coming to pass. Then there'll be a real need to know. One of the dangers that can come from studying prophecy comes when we begin focusing on a particular prophecy and start trying to make events fit the fulfillment of that prophecy. In other words, we're trying to determine how God must fulfill that prophecy. No, we're not supposed to do that. In fact, most prophecies were written in such a way that God can make them work out at a time that he wants and in the manner he chooses, and they will fulfill the prophecy exactly how it was written. God can work out his prophecies in ways that we could not even begin to think about. Perhaps because prophecy wasn't the first thing to grab our attention, when we start reading about what lies ahead, we recognize that what was going to happen didn't help us as much if we aren't close to God. What is the purpose of our knowing prophecy? We can't prevent it from being fulfilled. We can't help it be fulfilled. What exactly are we supposed to do with what we understand? Well, prophecy needs to help motivate us to try to become more like our Heavenly Father and to build a stronger relationship with Him. That way we can rely on Him to see us through the events that are prophesied to come and focus on the coming kingdom of God. God sent His prophets to try to wake up the nations. Prophecy should motivate us to seek God while He may be found, and to change our ways so that not only would we avoid some of the dreadful prophecies to come, but also so that we understand the wonderful prophecies for the future. Let's look at Luke 21, and you want to hold your place there because we'll be coming back to it. Luke 21, verse 36 is a verse that we should have highlighted in our Bibles. Luke 21, 36. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Note that this clearly has two parts. While we all would want to escape some of the physical events that are going to happen and need to keep our eyes on what's happening around us, ultimately our greatest need is to be paying attention to what's happening inside us. Are we close to God? Do we long for His kingdom? And are we preparing for our part in it? Our ultimate desire is to be considered worthy to be part of His kingdom. God's involvement with mankind is always for a specific purpose. He has a plan, and all things fit together to bring it about. What we need to do is to do our part. Obviously, God will do the rest. I'd like to share two comments from the message that I included from 10 years ago, because they remind us of what we should always be the most important aspect of prophecy to us. The first is by Robin Weber from May 12, 2001. His article was Preaching the Gospel, Preparing a People. Quoting from him, sometimes it is easier to deal with timelines and datelines and prophecies about it an individual that we don't even know who he is yet, rather than dealing with ourselves. Time and eternity have nothing in common. The urgency that we need to have is about our eternal choices that we are making in our lives today. Eternal choices. The urgency is about eternal character. Urgency is not about the when, but the what I am and why am I doing it. The second comment is from Gerald Ost in the January-February 2011 Good News article, An Overview of End Time Prophecy, quoting, though people want to know the what, when, and where of prophecy, this is not the primary purpose of prophecy. The purpose is to help people evaluate their personal conduct in light of God's word before the prophesied circumstances come to pass. Its purpose is to motivate people to question their conduct in light of clear Bible teaching. Prophecy of and by itself doesn't build character, but it can serve as a tool to help us make sure our character is pleasing to God and worthy of our being in His kingdom. Christ is going to return, and we need to be prepared for it at any time, because there are some warnings about what will happen to us if we are completely unaware. Again in Luke 21, this time starting in verse 34. Luke 21, 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. Verse 35. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. We don't have to be caught by that snare. We should be expecting what is coming. Christ is returning. And our goal is to make sure that we're not caught sleeping. We don't want to stick our head in the sand. God has given us eyes and ears to hear. We need to make sure we use them. Let's look at Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, verse 42, we read, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." And verse 44 reminds us, "Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes." One of the first things we need to watch in order to be ready is ourselves, our attitudes, our relationship with God, our priorities, our motives. We're to be watching so that we're not distracted and so that we are prepared. We do need to keep an eye on world conditions. Why? So we're not deceived. Could we be deceived? Well, obviously. Otherwise, Christ wouldn't have given the warning. Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5. After the disciples had asked him what would be the sign of his coming and the end of the age, he answered, Matthew 24, starting in verse 4, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive." How many? A couple? A dozen? No, it says, "and will deceive many." What other aspects of prophecy should we be concerned about? Let's look at 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, we read that in later times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That means they depart from the correct doctrine and from correct beliefs because they have been deceived by clever arguments and deceiving spirits. This is the kind of prophecy that we should be concerning ourselves with. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians 2 provides more warning about the kinds of things we should be looking for that impact how we should be preparing ourselves. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. "Now we beseech you, brethren, as to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in the mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, or as by from us, as that the day of Christ has come. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." He reminds them that he had told them about this, about when he was with them. And then he goes on to explain how this individual works and why people will be deceived. Verse 9, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. For they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And Paul's advice for us today, the part that we need to make sure that we remember, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. In the context of world end time events, in Mark 13, verse 33, Christ instructed his disciples, Mark 13, 33, watch and pray, for you know not what the time is. We too need to be prepared for the upheavals that are prophesied to strike this world prior to Christ's second coming and the establishment of his kingdom. Let's look at Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah 30, verse 7 reminds us, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. We aren't going to be saved from all of Jacob's trouble. We're going to be saved out of it. So some of the things that are going to come on this country, we'll end up getting to go through it also. Seeing how many of our members across the country have come down with COVID, just look at what happened to some of our feast sites. Many have died from it. We can see that the prophetic timeline is definitely moving on. We sometimes forget that we're not the only people who can see that problems are coming. There are secular sources that can also see the handwriting on the wall. So what sets us apart from those that can see that we're on the brink of a collapse in America? The difference is we can see a solution to the world's problems. We understand the real cause of the problems. Many don't see a connection between what is happening and the different affronts to God. We can read the Bible and understand the mess that we're in. Many writers go into a whole lot of detail about how to prepare for the coming crisis. Their focus is purely on the physical. Buy gold, store up food, get a gun. While we recognize the fact that Joseph was sent to store up grain for a famine that was going to come on the world, we also know that our refuge ultimately is God. Our trust has to be in Him, and not on our own physical preparedness. Buying a gun, keeping a lot of cash or other commodity on hand, or stockpiling 3 to 5 years of food is not our answer. How long would it take for a home to be broken into and the weapon turned on us? How long would it take if someone suspects that we have such things? Ultimately, what sets us apart from others who see that things are not looking good in our country is that they're looking for what they can do themselves. Mankind has always seemed to have the attitude, I want to do it myself. We look at what's happening and see the solution to man's problem is not going to be physical, but spiritual. Since we know what is coming, I think it is becoming more real to all of us that all the events God has prophesied are going to be fulfilled sooner rather than later. We need to be considering some of the warnings that we are given. And these are really just some of the things for us to consider. The Bible is full of warnings that we need to pay attention to. We need to pay attention to them if we hope to endure to the end. Will we be deceived? I referred to Christ's warning about this earlier. It's the first warning Christ gave. No matter how long we've been in the church, we are warned that even the very elect could fall into deception at that time. Let's turn to Mark. Mark 13, verse 22. Mark 13, 22. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed. See, I have told you all things beforehand. Satan is the master of deception, and we will not be able to stand up to him on our own. We need to ask God to help us see the truth of a matter, or what decision we should make, if we're not sure what is going on. Could an over interest in specific prophecy lead us astray? I remember Bill Cowan mentioning once in a sermon that the easiest way for someone to get a following is to preach prophecy. They can stress end time events, use charts and dates to predict the end of the world. But as he pointed out, does what that person say motivate you to change your life to be more like Christ? Or does it get you hung up on some pet theory? Another thing we need to be considering, when we get into true persecution, have we decided what we are going to do? Will we stand up for the truth, no matter what the consequences are? Or will we pretend to go along and try to hide with the rest of the world? Or is it possible that we could deny the truth entirely in order to save our lives physically? If so, we're forgetting what Christ told us in Mark 8. Let's turn there. Mark 8, starting in verse 34. Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Bottom line is, if our primary focus is to save our physical life, we will lose our spiritual life. The third item, are we still distracted by the cares of the world? Let's look at Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 33. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Have we learned to focus on things that are eternal and permanent, and not the things that will fade away? Notice that Peter reminds us of what we've been called to in 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. And then going on to chapter 5, verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And of course, we're all familiar with Matthew 6, 19 to 21, and we should take it to heart. Matthew 6, 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If we're not keeping the goal of the kingdom of God before our eyes, we can start to look around and lose our focus and think physically rather than spiritually. In Matthew 25, in the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, I'd like us to consider one fact. Five took the time to prepare for the coming of the bridegroom. The foolish apparently had other pursuits to spend their time on. Which are we? Don't get tricked into throwing God out of the picture as you take care of the cares of the life, of this life. Another important thing for us to consider is, how are we living our lives? The majority of people are living their lives carelessly and lawlessly. We have to be careful to live by every word of God. There is a relentless battle going on for our minds and values. And we don't want to get caught up in the activities of this world and forsake our calling. We are accountable for how we live our lives. It doesn't matter what anyone else is doing. When we see something in this world that is not right, we need to make sure that we are not going in that direction. If we're coexisting with any kind of sin, instead of rooting it out of our lives, we are in danger. We need to guard our hearts, our minds. We need to use the Holy Spirit. At baptism, we promise to keep our hand on the plow and not look back. Let's look at what we're told in Luke 9:62. In Luke 9:62, Christ said, "No one having put their hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." We need to make sure we do the things we were called to do. Make them our priority, not the physical things. We need to make sure that we put prayer and Bible study first. Another question, will we be fearful? Unfortunately, we are living in an age where the media is trying to its best to make us fearful. Fear is a powerful tool that Satan will use to make us do things we think we would never do, such as deny Christ. Rick Shavey gave a sermon in October 2020, "A World Held Captive by Fear." In it he said, and I quote, "The words 'do not be afraid' or 'fear not' are used 110 times in the Bible, more than any other command. If we're going to go from here to the kingdom of God, we're going to face fearful times ahead. We have to learn how to overcome fear. We may find ourselves looking to the world and thinking, 'How do I do this? And how do I save myself? How can I protect myself from this?' When we should be thinking, 'I am looking to God. I will follow Him and I won't be afraid.' If our fear keeps us from doing what God tells us to do, then who is our God? We need to remember that fear can promote doubt and destroy our faith. We need to remember Revelation 21, verse 8, the first category of people that God mentions. Revelation 21, verse 8. "But the cowardly," that is the fearful, "shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." We can also take comfort from several other scriptures. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, 10. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you." In Luke 12, verse 32. Luke 12:32. "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." We need to stake our lives on the fact that God cannot lie. And what does He tell us in Philippians 1, verse 6? Philippians 1, 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Do we get it? That God does not want us just as I am? He loves us, but He won't be able to use us if we haven't grown and overcome. Overcoming is a huge part of Christian life. We can read Revelation 2 and 3 and see that the final promises of the members of final promise made to those who overcome. We can see that the final promise was made to those that overcome. We must overcome. We must overcome ourselves, our natural carnal selfish nature, the world and its attractions. Of course, Satan would like us to take the easier way. As I said, there are plenty of other things we might want to look at if we hope to endure to the end. We don't want to wait until the great tribulation is starting to get serious about our calling. If we have not yet begun to take the times, ourselves and the scripture more seriously than we ever have before, what will it take to make us do that? In the midst of all these themes that will characterize the end time and the warnings to us as a church, we need to remember the solution to all these prophecies: the kingdom of God. This is how we lead balanced lives and look to God to bring us to that kingdom. Christ is going to return, we can and will know when the time of the end is upon us. We know that Christ expected his disciples to know when the end was near, even if they were not to know the exact hour. In Matthew 24, verse 32, Christ used the parable of the fig tree putting forth its branches and our ability to tell that summer was near to remind us. And then in verse 33, so likewise you, when you shall see all these things, what he had been telling them about in Matthew 24, know that it is near, even at the doors. In addition to this parable of the fig tree, in Matthew 16, verses 2 and 3, in the New Living Translation, he reminds them, you know the saying, red sky at night means fair weather tomorrow. Red sky in the morning means foul weather all day. You are good at reading the weather signs in the sky. You are good at reading the weather signs in the sky, but you can't read the obvious signs of the times. On another occasion, as recorded in Luke 12:54, he said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather. And there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it you do not discern this time? Might we not ask, do you see today how fewer adults are marrying? More babies are being born to unmarried women. And the abortion rate kills millions each year. Millions. Do you see how our leaders are corrupt, incompetent, and godless? Do you see how the nations of the world despise the United States? And do you see that we are declining? Just one point, our level of debt is unsustainable. Do you see Germany growing ever stronger as other European nations are tottering? Let's not forget China. Economically and militarily, they are a force to be reckoned with. While we are watching world events, we need to remember once again the words of Christ in Luke 21, verses 33 to 34. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Why? Because verse 35, which we read before, warns us that it will come as a snare on those who dwell on the face of the earth. As important as prophecy is, our personal spiritual preparation is far more important than just understanding the significance of prophetic events. God will save this world from destruction. God never wanted this for us, but we've been on a 6,000-year detour from what God originally had in mind. For 6,000 years, he's watched us learn things the hard way and is waiting for us to ultimately reach the point where he can't allow things to go on any longer. Prophecy is important. Because of the prophecies of the Bible, we can see what we can see and understand what God is planning. Prophecy can help give us the insight from the mind of God. We can also know what Satan will try to do. We can be forewarned. The important thing is that we're motivated by prophecy to humble ourselves before God and to ask Him to show us what all these prophecies are about and to help us clear our minds from any private interpretation, our own or anyone else's. We need to ask Him to show us how we should be using the understanding that He gives us. It is not God's will that man perfectly understand prophecies. A lot of questions that we might have when reading a prophecy will suddenly start to be answered for us when things start happening. Sometimes we're not sure exactly what God wants us to do. Along these lines, Mark Welch wrote a letter in his letter this Thursday, about concerns about COVID-19 and its variants. He wrote, and I'll quote, "Mr. Kubik has pointed out repeatedly we should all take special care and do our very best to quarantine when we may suspect something is not quite right with us health-wise. Do your best to be sure, without becoming paranoid or unbalanced, that you are not passing along this virus. We understand that no one among us would intentionally want to cause another person to become sick. No doubt, one of the lessons God wants us to understand and learn from these health trials is that we do have an effect and an impact on one another, both physically and spiritually. We ought not take that fact lightly. We are all attempting to do the best we know how in uncharted waters without all the necessary information and a complete picture readily available to us. One thing I've often said in regard to COVID-19 is that it seems there are no guarantees. Since Satan is the author of confusion, it seems that he does have his hand in all the confusion resulting from this pandemic. The truth is, we should all be humbled by our inadequacy to completely understand or solve this situation. Certainly God is in no way inadequate, and He knows exactly what is happening and why. We should all do the best we know how to do while relying on God for the wisdom and guidance He chooses to provide. May God lead, guide, and direct us, and may we humbly follow Him as we continue to navigate these turbulent waters." While the situation around COVID is not necessarily clear to us yet, I do believe that a lot of prophecies we've read in the past are becoming clearer, that we need to watch trends such as what is happening in Europe and the Middle East. The Middle East is essentially ground zero for Bible prophecy. Although I'm not the person to ask if you want to know all the minutiae about prophecy, I watch world events and the crazy things that are happening in the world. We know how they fit in with general end time prophecies, and I remind myself that God will let us know what we need to know when we need to know it. John 15:15. In John 15:15, we're told, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you." Mr. Tuck quoted this verse on the cover of today's Prophetic Times that just went out, and then went on to say, imagine it. You and I know what is going to happen because Jesus is our friend. I believe that the most important thing is for me to make sure God considers me a friend, so that he'll continue to make things known to me at an appropriate time. Keeping our eyes on what's happening is essential. But end time prophecy is actually given to encourage us to be watchful and to be focused on God. Keeping our focus upward and not on the around. There's a lot of prophecy yet to be fulfilled, and we do want to stay aware so that we're not living our lives with no thought about our eternal life. All the prophecies are designed to prove that God's word is sure. They come from God. And when they do come to pass, we will see exactly what God meant. We need to make sure we don't spend countless hours plotting timelines or reading the speculations of others to try to set dates. Remember what Daniel was told. Go your way. A lot of what people want to know is not something we can know. We can only try to understand and figure out from the standpoint of what God has in mind for us. We need to use prophecy to help us grasp the concept and return to the awareness that we have been called to rule with Christ. The entire government, economic system, education system, everything will be changed. And we've been called to help with that. We need to prepare now for the role that we will have. Revelation 19, verses 1 to 8, the call to us is to get ready. So while we don't have to get bogged down with all the details of prophecy, we do have to be ready for the return of Christ. I'd like to repeat some questions that I asked in my message 10 years ago about the value of prophecy. What's the value of prophecy? To keep us from being caught in that snare that will come upon the most of the world. We should be expecting it. What's the value of prophecy? To keep us motivated to endure to the end so that we can be part of the literal kingdom of God. What's the value of prophecy? To keep us growing and changing. So as Luke 21 verse 36 tells us, you may be counted worthy to escape all things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. What's the value of prophecy? To motivate us to use God's Holy Spirit to help us discern our own state of readiness. We can so easily deceive ourselves into thinking all is right with us, that we are ready when we are not. Bob Radcliffe gave a sermon, Understanding the Times, in November of 2020. In it, he reminded us, if any of us have been playing at being a disciple of Christ, it's time to stop. It's time to stop playing at being a Christian. We have to decide, are we really just admirers of Christ, or are we true disciples, true followers willing to die for what we believe? We don't have to know the exact hour of Christ's return, but is his return real to us? Are we ready to be the bride of Christ? More importantly, are we prepared? Have we been repenting, overcoming, growing, developing the nature that God wants us to have and becoming like our Father in heaven and His Son, Jesus Christ. Those who are preparing won't have a problem with being ready. In conclusion, if we keep watching our spiritual condition and world events and keep praying for the kingdom of God, we will be changing, repenting, and be accounted worthy to both escape the end time tribulation and to be with Christ in His kingdom.